Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
So we got
How about you?
Well, we got all kinds of things going on. It's always nice to check in with you to get a little perspective on what's happening. We had had a conversation last week with current council member Jim Sims, which he is doing a great job of helping us as well. But we like to talk to you because you don't have a dog in the fight right now, and you can help us out with what's going on here. And obviously last night there was a movie and a forum after that movie at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. The Black Lives Matter group here in Bloomington put that on, and they also issued a list of demands that they'd like to see the city come forward with and provide. From a past member's perspective, what does the city have to do and not have to do in situations like that? Is there any legality involved with that, or is that completely up to the administration?
You know, I think that's really up to the administration, but as a community, Bloomington has always been one I fully believe in, that you know, we listen to people when they have issues, and we've seen that already with this particular issue, wherein the council held a listening session, and from what I understand, they're just about ready to respond to the questions that were raised in that meeting back about a week ago. So,
Tim, let me ask you a question based on, I don't know what the legalities are, what the city council could do or not do. It's my understanding that this vehicle is bought and I would presume paid for. Is there any way that it can be unbought? Can the city council say, we want you to cancel that action?
You know, I think council is looking into that. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm pretty sure they would be looking into it from comments that have been reported in the HT. So I know there's a couple of council members who are concerned about that and are looking into the ways that they could possibly, you know, bring it back up and vote on it. But that would be the legal way to do it, and whether that's even possible, I don't know.
Does this open up a Pandora's box for everything having a referendum, or should it be looked at in the opposite direction where everything is a referendum and people should start paying attention more to line item budgets and going to budget hearings, etc.?
I think the latter. You know, over the time that I spent on the council, you know, when controversial issues would come up, people would make those kinds of demands it's not the right way to go about it. But actually, the budgeting process is the way to go about it. Now, you know, this is from a citizen's perspective, and I'm not sure how much daylight was on that particular purchase of that vehicle. So, you know, I think there's some legitimate reason to have some concerns about it. But then I think you have to get down to the, you know, what is the purpose of what's trying to be accomplished here? And, you know, I think that has been somewhat, I'm searching for the right word, but I think it's somewhat over the top in terms of how people are perceived. Some people are perceiving what this particular purchase would be doing or being used for. And, you know, I think we're a much bigger community than that. And I put a lot of faith and trust in our elected officials and then our department heads and police chief, fire chief, et cetera, you know, to make those right decisions. So, it's a tough one. It really is a tough one.
And moving forward, the process, one of the questions the Black Lives Matter group had in their demands was there any illegality in this? From an outside perspective, a citizen's perspective like yours, who has served on these and been through this, does anything jump off the page and you say, well, geez, that wasn't a good idea?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, I think the purchase process was followed. And I think, you know, typically what would happen, like in the purchase of vehicles, and I think that's probably where this got kind of muddy, or
vehicles? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the budget comes forward and says, well, we need X amount of dollars for vehicle purchase, you know, I can't recall when any council member ever raised their voice and said, you know, well, how many police cars are you buying? How many pickup trucks for utilities are you buying? How many pickup trucks are you buying for public works? You know, that just never really comes forward in that manner. And so I think that's probably, and again, this is from my personal perspective, but that's probably where things got a little bit sideways. And, you know, people didn't realize what other people would be thinking about it. So I, you know, I think that's probably where it all kind of started to come apart.
Tim, as I understand the story on this particular issue, the police department budget included money, and they were going to repair a roof, and the estimate for the roof came in higher than they had budgeted for. And so what they did was they used the money that was budgeted for the roof repair toward the purchase of this vehicle.
It was a basement repair, but it doesn't matter.
Whatever
it is.
And that it wasn't really a vehicle per se that was identified originally in the budget. It was other things, but the legality is it was part of the police department's budget to do with, and they did with. So does that change anything?
No, because I think, again, this is from my citizen's perspective, I don't know that it would have changed anything, because it had been discussed in 2016 for purchase in 2019. I think that's what I read in HT. And because of there was a project that they wanted to do at the police department, and they decided that the expense did not justify the project. And so then they moved up the purchase of the vehicle. So the vehicle had actually been somewhat identified.
In an earlier
iteration, yeah.
Well, and it replaced the previous vehicle, which was retired.
That's correct. And that vehicle had sat on Lincoln Street by the east side of City Police Department for many, many, many years. I mean, you know, it was there a long time.
Tim, let me ask you another question. You spent how many years total? I know there was a split in the service.
You don't have to answer
on the city council.
How long?
Yes.
24 and a half.
All right. Now, with your 24 and a half years experience, what's the best way for citizens to bring forward something to the council that they don't agree with? Is it come and make noise, come and testify? Ask questions, submit emails.
All of the above.
Well, yeah, it is all of the above. I mean, we do live in the age of instant communication. But I think I personally, as a council member sitting there and trying to learn about what the issue is about, for me, the best way for people to come forward would be to come and speak in what we called petitions and communications. And we had two sessions in each council meeting at the beginning and at the end. So people could come and they would have 20 minutes, 5 minutes per speaker, or divided by the number of speakers into that 20 minutes to give their opinion. And in some cases, if it was a hot issue or a special issue, the council president had the opportunity to extend that time and give the people who wanted to talk about a particular issue more time to speak. So, you know, for me, that was probably the best way to go about it. Beyond that, telephone calls were replaced by emails, in my experience. I received lots more email than phone calls in the latter years that I served. You know, once email became kind of an accepted thing. I personally chose not to get involved with social media because I just...
Because you're smart.
Feel comfortable with it. And I hear my kids gripe about it, so it's like, well, why would I do that? So I did not get involved with social media. Did and still do subscribe to a local paper and read it religiously every day, you know. So those are the best way. If a person has a reasonable and logical explanation for what they're trying to do, I think it makes a big difference. And I think council members are receptive to that. They sit there and they'll listen and they'll, you know, formulate questions in their own mind. And
I would think people would listen to a human being as opposed to perhaps an anonymous letter or email sent from an account somewhere else than a real human being who has actual concerns. I mean, anybody can put a phony email account up there and send you anything you want. I don't know if that gets anything done. But tell me about the Board of Public Safety. That's a citizens board. How do people get involved with that, or is that appointed by the – how does that work?
That was a board that was put in place, I believe, under Mayor McCloskey, so it's been there for many, many years. Typically, they are in closed-door sessions because they deal with sensitive matters of personnel. That is their – as I recall, that is their primary function, and so they deal with issues with police and fire officers that have, you know, have issues that need to be resolved. So it might have to do with employment or retirement or whatever. So to be very frank, on all my time on the council, I don't think I ever attended one of those meetings because they typically are, what the council would refer to as an executive session. So it's not a public meeting per se.
Well, that's interesting because they are their meeting is being they're holding a special meeting tonight to review the CERT policy with the police department and take public comment. The meeting
that's
tonight
correct.
Is scheduled from 5 to 6:30 p.m. So this isn't something you've ever seen or dealt with in the past. That's interesting as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's an attempt by Mayor Hamilton to be as open as possible on this particular issue and,
pull back the curtain a little bit, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So we'll see what's going on with that. That will be followed by an open house, 6:30 to 8:30 in the City Hall atrium, which will have folks there from city officials, Police Chief Dekoff, members of CERT. There will be, I believe it sounds like a table by table. If you want information about topic A, you go here. If you want it about topic B, you go there. Topic C, you go over there. So that's tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. If you cannot make it tonight, there will be one Thursday, March 1st. Yes, that's 2 days from now. Noon to 2, same bat place, the City Hall atrium on all of that. Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The former city councilman checks in with us to give us a little perspective on what's going on here. Now, from a procedural standpoint, we know you've been involved with it for over 24 years when you were in charge. This is new territory. There isn't a book or a chapter and verse you can go to and follow along here. This is kind of being created on the fly, yes?
I'm not sure about your question. What's being created on the fly?
These meetings, this schedule, this timeline, all of this that goes along with this, there's really not a book you can go to and say, hey, if we have an issue with this, here's the next 10 things we need to do.
Right. That is correct. That is correct.
So this is an organic development.
The mayor is working his way through it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I don't want to get lost in the conjecture here of, well, we heard that they've been demanded to do this. Well, they're not. This doesn't have to be on anybody's timeline except the administration's, correct?
That is correct, except if what we think has occurred here in that the vehicle has been ordered and money has changed hands, then I think it's kind of a different situation, isn't it? It's not like you're at the beginning of the process and saying, do we really need to make this purchase? It appears that the purchase has been made. So then the discussion becomes, well, how do we work our way through that issue, and what do we do when we get there? Do we not get that particular vehicle? Do we do something different?
Put a stop order on it? What does that cost? How does that go to future? So that's the stuff that we'll need to hear from the city, and is that the stuff you were talking about earlier, that they're collecting this data, collecting this information? Do you expect to hear something from that sooner than later, or are you going to wait till after the meetings this week and add it to that pile and then kind of sort out what we have? What would you think would
happen?
Well,
I mean, I think the council office is looking into what options the council has before them. What the mayor has said is that the mayor's office will make their decision. The mayor will make his decision by the end of this month, I believe. So,
That's tomorrow.
Well, that's kind of where we are then.
That's right.
All right. Did he say February or did he say March?
I think it's March, but we'll double check.
All right, so he's got 30 days. So.
Well, that makes sense because you wouldn't want it done over a two-day period, I wouldn't think, because that would seem to be a hurry up and make a decision instead of sort through all the factors that you've brought up. Hey, will you join us here next month? I know that's only 2 days from now, but sometime in the next March to help us keep sorting through all this?
Sure. Yeah.
Excellent.
I'd be glad to.